from Taco Night in Tulum to sushi in Tokyo, make every bite rewarding with gold from Amex. Wherever you dine, four times membership rewards points at restaurants worldwide are piling up. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-gold. Terms and points cap apply.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Iran's leader says his country is in crisis amid protests and external pressures. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more.
Iran's President Masoud Pereshkian's speech took place in the central city of Shahrakoort. Pereshkian says, "We're engaged in a full-scale war. Right now, the enemy has placed most of its hopes on weakening us through economic pressure." Adding, "You cannot conquer a nation with bombs, fighter jets, or missiles. To defeat us, they would have to come and face us on the ground. And if they were to do this, it would be impossible for them to bring Iran to its knees." His comments come 2 days after President Donald Trump suggested the US could carry out military strikes if Iran attempts to reconstitute its nuclear program. Iran on Wednesday also appointed a new central bank governor following a record currency fall against the US dollar, which had sparked large protests through the country. I'm Charles Teledesma.
As economic protests spread across parts of Iran, President Donald Trump writes on his Truth Social platform that if Iran violently kills peaceful protesters, the U.S., quote, will come to their rescue, end quote. Trump writes, "We are locked and loaded and ready to go." At least seven people have been killed in violence surrounding the demonstrations. Ali Larijani, who's the secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, responded on social platform X, saying Trump should know that intervention by the U.S. in the domestic problem corresponds to chaos in the entire region and the destruction of the U.S. interests, and he accuses the U.S. and Israel of stoking the demonstrations. And Larijani says, "The people of the U.S. should know that Trump began the adventurism. They should take care of their own soldiers." I'm Donna Warder.
In Switzerland, a New Year's Eve party in a bar turned deadly after a fire broke out, killing about 40 people and injuring more than 100 others. Work is still underway to identify the dead and inform their families. Authorities say it's too early to determine the cause of the fire, but added that investigators have ruled out the possibility of an attack.
A New Year's party at a Swiss Alpine bar turned into a tragedy after about 40 people died in a fire and another roughly 115 injured, many in their teens to mid-20s. Authorities say the inferno broke out less than 2 hours after midnight on Thursday. The death toll makes the disaster at the Le Constellation Bar in the Crans-Montana ski resort one of Switzerland's worst tragedies. The resort's best known as an international ski and golf venue. Officials say the fire's cause remains under investigation, but have ruled out the possibility of an attack. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In other news, actor George Clooney and his wife, Amal Clooney, were granted French citizenship. The country said the decision was made because, quote, they contribute through their distinguished actions to France's international influence and cultural outreach. The French government defended their naturalization that was questioned by a junior French minister. In North Korea, the teenage daughter of leader Kim Jong-un made her first known visit to a sacred family mausoleum, a step experts say could signal her status as her father's potential heir. More information at apnews.com. This is AP News. There's new videos of U.S. strikes on suspicious boats.
The U.S. military has released more videos of strikes on five more suspected drug smuggling boats over 2 days this week, killing eight people, while others jumped overboard and may have survived. A video of Tuesday's attack posted by the U.S. Southern Command on social media shows three boats traveling in a close formation. The U.S. military says the unusual convoy along known narco-trafficking routes transferred narcotics between three vessels prior to the strikes. Southern Northern Command says it immediately notified the U.S. Coast Guard to activate search and rescue efforts, which is notable. The U.S. military drew heavy scrutiny after U.S. forces killed the survivors of an attack in early September. Some Democratic lawmakers and legal experts say the military committed a crime. The Trump administration says that the follow-up strike was legal. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
President Trump is talking about his health and his energy. The 79-year-old president told the Wall Street Journal he had a CT scan during an October examination. He had said it was an MRI.
What part of your body was the MRI looking at?
I have no idea. It was just an MRI. What part of the body?
The president said he regretted undergoing the advanced imaging on his heart and abdomen during the visit because it raised public questions about his health. His physician said in a memo the White House released in December, he had advanced imaging as a preventative screening for men his age. The president told the Journal, nothing's wrong. He also denied he has fallen asleep during White House meetings when cameras have caught him with his eyes closed, insisting he was resting his eyes or blinking. Donald Trump became the oldest person to take the oath of office when he was sworn in as president last year. Enhanced tax credits that have helped Americans offset the cost of Affordable Care Act health insurance for the last 4 years expired overnight. It will mean higher health care costs for millions of Americans. President Trump says the ACA or Obamacare is unaffordable.
They're going to have a tremendous increase in premiums, which is Obamacare, which is them, the Democrats' fault. They'll try and blame Republicans. It has nothing to do with us. It's the Democrats' fault.
The president wants the money to go to the people, not insurance companies.
And everybody loves it. It's become our issue.
This is Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
The American people are not dumb. They see that these sham proposals for health care savings accounts and tax credits are simply a ruse and a sham by Republicans.
A House vote on subsidies is expected this month that could offer another chance, but success is far from guaranteed. I'm Ed Donahue.
On New Year's Eve, President Trump signed a proclamation delaying increased tariffs on upholstered furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities for a year, citing ongoing trade talks. But the order does keep in place a 25% tariff imposed on those goods last September. In 1 year, the tariff will rise to 30% on upholstered furniture and 50% on kitchen cabinets and vanities. The president has said the tariffs on furniture are needed to, quote, bolster American industry and protect national security. The one-year delay is the latest in Trump's tariff wars since he returned to office last year. Marcela Sanchez, Washington.
In his annual letter to the judiciary, Chief Justice John Roberts says the Constitution remains a sturdy pillar for the country. That message comes after a tumultuous year in which Roberts found himself issuing a rare rebuke after Trump called for the impeachment of a judge who'd ruled against him in a case over the deportation of Venezuelan migrants. Largely focusing on U.S. legal history, Roberts called on judges to continue deciding cases according to their oath, doing equal right to the poor and to the rich. Despite setbacks, the Trump administration has scored some 24 wins on the Supreme Court's emergency docket. Major rulings on birthright citizenship and tariffs are yet to come. President Trump's announced he's dropping his push to deploy National Guard troops in Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, Oregon. Legal challenges have hung up those efforts, but Trump predicts crime will soar in those cities, and then he says he'll send troops in again, perhaps in a much different and stronger form. Governors typically control states' National Guardsmen, and in December, the Supreme Court refused to allow the Chicago deployment. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says Trump lost in court when his state stood up against his attempt to militarize American cities, and now has been forced to stand down. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek calls it a big win for Oregonians and for the rule of law, while California Governor Gavin Newsom says it's about time Trump admitted defeat. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The Republican-led House Judiciary Committee has released a transcript and a video of a closed-door interview with former special counsel Jack Smith, who says that the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol does not happen without Donald Trump.
Smith pushed back on accusations that the investigation was politically motivated, characterizing Trump as the most culpable and most responsible person. The December 17th deposition was conducted privately, despite Smith's request to testify publicly. Trump was indicted on charges of conspiring to undo the 2020 election and of willfully retaining classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Both cases were abandoned after Trump's 2024 election win, with Smith at the time citing Justice Department policy against the indictment of a sitting president. The Trump administration has frozen child care funds to all states after allegations of fraud at Minnesota daycare centers run by Somali residents. All 50 states will have to provide additional levels of verification and administrative data before they can receive more funding from the Child Care and Development Fund. There are additional restrictions on Minnesota, which cannot receive child care funds again until it provides even more verification for child care centers that are suspected of fraud, such as attendance and licensing records, past enforcement actions, and inspection reports. Minnesota's governor has accused President Donald Trump of weaponizing the allegations for political gains. The Department of Justice has expanded its review of documents related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein to 5.2 million and has increased the number of attorneys trying to comply with a law mandating the release of those files, which has run more than a week past a deadline set in the law by Congress. More than 400 attorneys are working on the review, with lawyers said to be working around the clock. Pressure has been mounting from Congress towards Attorney General Pam Bondi for missing the December 19th deadline to release all of the information. Democrats have said that the Justice Department has been lying to the American people from day one. Representative Tom Massie, a Kentucky Republican who helped lead the effort to pass the document release mandate, asked on social media this week whether Attorney General Pam Bondi should be impeached. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Zoran Mamdani is beginning his term as mayor of New York. Mamdani was sworn in after midnight at a decommissioned subway station below City Hall. He was back for a second ceremony in front of City Hall.
I, Zoran Kwame Mamdani.
Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders administered the oath. Mamdani is New York's first Muslim mayor and the first to be born in Africa.
There are some who view this administration with distrust or disdain, or who see politics as permanently broken. And while only action can change minds, I promise you this. If you are a New Yorker, I am your mayor.
Mamdani says he will protect New Yorkers and never for a second hide from them. In office, the new mayor says he will reset the idea of small expectations.
We will govern expansively and audaciously. We may not always succeed, but never will we be accused of lacking the courage to try.
Mamdani calls this the privilege of a lifetime. I'm Ed Donahue.
Authorities in northern Colorado say they believe a woman was killed Thursday by a mountain lion while walking alone in the mountains. Wildlife officers later in the day killed two mountain lions in the area. The attack on the woman happened south of the small community of Glen Haven. Shortly before noon, two hikers encountered a mountain lion near the woman's body along a remote section of a mountain trail in a national forest. They told authorities they shooed the animal away with rocks so they could help the woman, but she had no pulse. Colorado Parks and Wildlife says they're still searching for other mountain lions in the area. I'm Donna Water.
Rain poured down on the iconic Rose Parade for the first time in 20 years. Marching bands, floats, and throngs of spectators were soaked by 1 to 2 inches of New Year's Day rain in Pasadena, California. Flood warnings and evacuation orders in Southern California joined snow squalls and frigid temperatures in the Northeast and Midwest to mark the first day of 2026. Temperatures at New York City's New Year's Eve ball drop were the coldest in 100 years. Conditions varied from snow showers to heavier squalls from Wisconsin through northern Illinois and Michigan and into northern New Jersey, southeastern New York, and New England. About a quarter of the flights out of San Diego and Boston saw delays. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Authorities say rescue crews responding to a report of an injured hiker who fell down a slope near a Southern California mountain trail found the 19-year-old man and two other hikers dead. Sheriff's officials say the three bodies were discovered Monday evening along the Devil's Backbone Trail at Mount Baldy, which rises more than 10,000 feet east of Los Angeles. A helicopter spotted the injured hiker after his companion went for help, and that's when rescuers also saw the other two hikers. But severe winds prevented the aircraft from landing. A medic was eventually hoisted down from a helicopter and found all three dead. Southern California has been buffeted by strong Santa Ana winds with isolated gusts reaching 70 miles per hour. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Seth Soutal, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street closed out another banner year with a downbeat finish. The S&P 500 gave up 0.7% Wednesday. That was the S&P's fourth loss in a row. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 303 points. That's about 0.6%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 0.8%. Trading volume was thin ahead of the New Year's Day holiday on Thursday. Stocks finished with strong gains for 2025. The S&P 500 rose more than 16% for the year. That's its third straight year of double-digit gains. The Nasdaq Composite rose 20% for the year. The Dow 13% higher. 2025 wound up being another really great year for investors, but there were considerable bumps along the way. In April, the market had a big kind of freak out where they got very worried about the announcement of widespread tariffs from the White House. That wound up being a very big jolt. The market did get over that as the year went on, and the fallout from the tariffs were not nearly as bad as the market thought. A couple of other things happened this year. AI stocks that sell AI equipment, but also that buy it, went up tremendously because of all the investment that's going into AI. This is ChatGPT and Gemini from Google and Meta. The investments are enormous. The people who sell hardware like Nvidia, which sells chips, went up enormously. The Federal Reserve is another big topic this year. It started cutting interest rates this year because inflation was starting to come down. Now, it's not down where the Fed wants it. The Fed wants inflation at 2%, it's at about 3%. So the Federal Reserve is reluctant to cut interest rates a lot more, and that's another question that's going to be going into next year. Seth Soutal, New York.
Tatiana Schlossberg has died after a battle with leukemia. She was an environmental journalist and one of the three grandchildren of President John F. Kennedy. Schlossberg was diagnosed with the disease in May 2024 while in the hospital for the birth of her second child. She publicly revealed that she had terminal cancer in November 2025 in an essay in The New Yorker. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation posted a family statement on social media disclosing her death. Tatiana Schlossberg was 35.
Eight-time Grammy-nominated gospel singer Richard Smallwood has died at age 77 in Maryland.
Praise him with a timbrel and dance.
His representative announcing Smallwood passed away Tuesday due to complications from kidney failure. Smallwood had faced health challenges for years, but his dedication to music kept him going. His songs were recorded by artists such as Whitney Houston and Destiny's Child. Smallwood's music inspired many, including Chaka Khan, who praised his brilliance and spirit. Writing on Facebook, Chaka Khan said Smallwood opened up my whole world of gospel music. His music didn't just inspire me, it transformed me. Smallwood began playing piano at age 5 and formed his first gospel group by 11. One of his biggest hits was the song Total Praise. I'm Julie Walker.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Fernando Mendoza threw 3 touchdown passes, and top-seeded Indiana roared into the college football playoff semifinals with a 38-3 rout of Alabama in the 112th Rose Bowl.
It's such a great opportunity for all of us. It would be Rose Bowl champions. However, we have a very tough opponent in Oregon, so we're looking on them.
Lucas Carneiro kicked a tie-breaking 47-yard field goal with 6 seconds left to lift number 6 Mississippi over third-ranked Georgia 39-34 in a CFP quarterfinal in the Sugar Bowl. Oregon dominated Texas Tech with a 23-0 CFP quarterfinal win at the Orange Bowl. NFL, Lamar Jackson says he's expecting to play when the Ravens take on the Steelers for the AFC North title Sunday. NBA, an MRI showed Spurs star Victor Wembanyama sustained no ligament damage in his injured left knee, and the Astros signed Japanese right-hander Tatsuya Imai. 7-time Grand Slam singles champion Venus Williams has received a wild card entry for the Australian Open beginning January 18th in Melbourne. The tournament announced Friday that the 45-year-old Williams would make a return to Melbourne Park 28 years after her first appearance. In 1998, she defeated her younger sister Serena in the second round before eventually losing in the quarterfinals to Lindsay Davenport. Venus had announced in September that she would play in Auckland, New Zealand, and also at the Hobart International a week later. Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson says a cracked rib sidelined him in the second half of the Crimson Tide's 38-3 loss to top-seeded Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Simpson got hurt when an Indiana player's helmet hit him in the torso and caused a fumble after his first down scramble through the Hoosiers' defense in the first half. He had an x-ray at halftime that revealed the injury, Simpson said, after the college football playoff quarterfinal ended. Simpson acknowledged that he might have tried to do too much on the play. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark says everything is on the table when it comes to rebooting the college football playoff, including potentially moving another round of games onto campus. The Oregon-Texas Tech game on New Year's Day kicked off in front of thousands of empty seats at Hard Rock Stadium. The Ducks traveled 3,200 miles to get to Miami. The commissioners have until January 23rd to figure out what next year's playoff will look like. Expansion and automatic bids have been the two biggest headlines in that discussion. Minnesota Lynx star Nafisa Collier will have surgery on both ankles and is expected to be sidelined 4 to 6 months. Collier had been rehabbing ankle injuries. She said last month she was working back to full strength so she could be available for 3-on-3 Women's Basketball League Unrivaled second season, which begins Monday. She suffered a sprained right ankle during an August WNBA game and missed several weeks. She hurt her left ankle in Game 3 of the league's semifinals. Collier recently spoke out against the WNBA leadership's lack of player support. New England Patriots defensive lineman Christian Barmore is accused of assaulting his girlfriend in August. A criminal complaint claims Barmore took the woman's phone, threw her to the ground, and grabbed her by the shirt at his home in Mansfield, Massachusetts. Police say the woman provided a photo showing bruises from the incident. Barmore's lawyer says he's confident no criminal conduct occurred. On Tuesday, Barmore's teammate and wide receiver Stephon Diggs was charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery in a dispute with his former private chef. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
From Sydney to Paris to New York City, crowds have rung in the new year with exuberant celebrations filled with thunderous fireworks. Fireworks erupted over European landmarks from the Colosseum in Rome to the London Eye. In Paris, revelers converged around the glittering Champs-Élysées Avenue. Other locations took a more subdued approach. Hong Kong held limited celebrations following a recent fire at an apartment complex that killed 161 people. Australia saluted the new year with defiance less than a month after its worst mass shooting in almost 30 years. In Crans-Montana in Switzerland, a fire swept through a bar at 1:30 a.m. local time, where dozens of people were presumed dead and around 100 were hurt. Authorities say it's too early to determine the cause of the fire. Western officials say that a Ukrainian attack killed at least 24 people in a Russian-occupied village in Ukraine's Kherson region, as tensions between the two nations continue to spike, despite diplomats hailing productive peace talks. Ukrainian officials did not immediately comment on the strike, which could not be independently verified by the Associated Press. The statement follows claims from Moscow that Ukraine launched a long-range drone against one of Russian President Vladimir Putin's official residences in northwestern Russia on Tuesday. Kiev has denounced the claims as a lie. Elsewhere in Ukraine, Russia attacked the Odessa region overnight, targeting civilian infrastructure in several waves of drone attacks, according to the regional head. Firefighters worked overnight to put out the flames. Authorities said a two-story residential building was damaged and that a drone hit an apartment on the 17th floor of a high-rise building without detonating. There were no casualties reported. Pope Leo XIV has opened 2026 with a plea for peace. He's singling out, in particular, countries bloodied by conflict and families wounded by violence. Speaking to a crowd of thousands, the Pope said the new year is an open journey to be discovered. Thursday was Pope Leo XIV's first New Year's Day Mass since he was elected last spring. He then delivered a special noontime prayer from his studio overlooking the piazza, which was full of pilgrims and tourists on the bright chilly day. He noted that January the 1st marks the Church's World Day of Peace and used the occasion to issue a prayer. He said, "Let us all pray together for peace, first among nations bloodied by conflict and suffering, but also within our homes, in families wounded by violence or pain." After a busy Christmas season, Leo has a few days of rest before he celebrates the Church's Epiphany holiday on January the 6th. I'm Karen Chemas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.